Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 239, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! It's a production of iHeartRadio, and this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, June 3rd, 2022, which of course means it is National Donut Day.
Oh, I love a donut.
Oh, man. The best.
Oh, Carl Tart in the most recent episode of Mad Boosties reveals
Krispy Kreme,
his biggest Achilles heel as an athlete. What's your favorite donut? You got a favorite donut? Aside from the Dunkin' sour cream that you put me onto in that fateful East Coast trip a few years ago.
The Dunkin' sour cream is not the main sour cream. It would be Bill's Donuts or Bob's Donuts. I forget. Like, we have a very similar one out here that's Bill's or Bob's in LA, but I think it's Bob's Donuts in Centerville, Ohio, has the OG really, really dope sour cream donut. That's basically just a cake donut with like real deeply embedded ingrained frosting.
Oh, I like that.
Goes all the way through.
Okay.
I like sweetness. A donut cannot be too sweet for me.
That's the challenge. Like with me, there can never be too much garlic in a dish for me. It's impossible for you to encounter a donut too sweet for your palate.
I want them to get physics involved, try to cram as much sugar as possible onto and into the donut, and then, you know, push the laws of physics to fully saturate it even more with sweetness. That's just
yeah. You want the scientists who are working on like climate change and cancer vaccines to be like, no. Try and make me a donut that will turn my mouth inside out with sweetness.
Okay. Yeah, when people say something is too sweet, I just don't have that part of my brain. Yeah.
Give it here.
Like the Krispy Kreme, my favorite Krispy Kreme is the frosted and then glazed, or the glazed and then frosted.
Oh, with chocolate?
Like just double up.
Wow.
Double me up.
Okay.
Daddy.
Okay, double daddy.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka, and this is a series of Dictator Mountain Dew flavors, the D-Zeit gang surfaced from the Discord, aka Benito Dussolini, aka Robert Dugabi. Those are from Scouty Magoo, aka Papa Mountain Duvalier. And then I think the real pinnacle, Baha Al Blastad.
Wow.
And that's from Bottles and Fans.
Look at that.
So shout out to you. This is, I do think that we're headed in that direction where everything gets a Mountain Dew flavor, you know? And and why not some of the most impactful monsters from history?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I've been kissed by a rose in Portland. I've been kissed by a rose in Portland. Okay, shout out to me. Shout out to the homie on the street of Portland who pulled up to me. And I saw this brother in the street. He said, Miles, what's up? And I'm sorry that I said, do I know you? And you're like, I'm Zeit Gang. And I was like, thank God, I love this town. I'm in Portland for a little bit. Shout out to everybody who's been giving me little recommendations. Everybody has told me to go to the restaurant Eam, which I will be going to, which sounds delicious. But in general, you know, shout out to the Pacific Northwest. I realize being a desert child, how refreshing it is to look at a whole bunch of trees.
Mm. And you've been kissed by some roses while you were there? Because it is,
I went to the Rose
City.
Yeah.
Right, Rose Garden. Yeah, okay.
I went to that Rose Garden. You know, I tried to go to the Japanese Garden, but it was closed, so I couldn't make it before the recording. But, you know, that's on my list.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented actor, producer, and activist. He originated the role of Abe in the Pulitzer Prize-winning and Tony-nominated play Disgraced. That's where I know him from because I'm cultured.
Oh, yeah.
But of course, we also know him as Simon Drake on How to Get Away with Murder, Amir on the Shy, from TV shows like The Good Place, Chicago PD. Ever heard of him? He's also a founding member of the Chicago Inclusion Project, which seeks to provide resources for underrepresented people in the arts. It's Beza Dabu!
Hi, I'm so happy to be back again. I love doing this podcast.
Oh, man, we love having you.
Good seeing you, man.
Good seeing you, too.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I want to chime in on the thing that, like, I wish NASA scientists would create more of and I could never have too much of. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is cilantro flavoring. Oh,
wow.
My God. I love when something has cilantro in it. My, I had a chicken curry the other day with cilantro in it, and I was like, more cilantro.
They're like, you just ate a mouthful of cilantro, sir. More cilantro-y.
You want the molecular gastronomy where like they take, you know, like 7,000 pounds of cilantro and then put it into like one like Tic Tac shaped thing. And you're like, your mouth may not recover from this. And you're like, please.
There's a dish. I'm not sponsored by this restaurant, but there's a restaurant called Chin Chin. It's like Chinese food. They have one in Beverly Hills. They have one in Studio City.
Yeah, it's like a chain from the 80s. But yeah.
So they got this Chin Chin restaurant. So, you know, the other day I was like just hungry, ordered something, and they have this thing called Anthony's Special Noodles at Chin Chin. And I was like, well, what's special about Anthony and like, why is the noodle special? But it really just, they put a cilantro dressing on it. I was like, well, let me get that. These noodles were delicious.
Oh, man. So, and it had adequate cilantro. I mean, how are their levels to it? I mean, like most of the time we see it as a garnish. I go, if you go to like a taqueria, like it's going to be with onions chopped up. Like how...
Yeah.
Do you want, like, in your mind, in the ideal world, are you just seeing handfuls of cilantro on top of stuff?
That doesn't deter me. Like when you get like a taco off a food truck and there's like almost like a whole like vine of cilantro.
Oh yeah, I love that.
I love that.
Got the good flavor.
Oh, you don't mind the stem?
No, I don't mind the stem.
Oh, okay. I don't mind the stem at all.
I don't mind the stem, and the stem kind of gives you a little crunch.
Yeah.
But the cilantro noodles, it was like more than just a garnish. Like there was cilantro flavor in the noodles, and I like that because you don't really get that flavor with like Asian dishes always, so that was pretty great. Anyway, that was just
listening to you talk about cilantro has convinced me that I have the soap thing, you know. Taste cilantro and they're like, that tastes like soap water. Like I was gonna say, oh, have you tried the Mountain Dew flavor soap water that's cilantro based? But I didn't say that because I think there's just like when you look up like cilantro flavor, first article, why does cilantro taste like soap? And they treat it like it's a preference for those who appreciate it. Cilantro tastes like, but I don't think it's appreciation because like when I've never had cilantro and tasted something that is citrusy, which is what I'm seeing people describe it as.
It does not at all taste like soap to me. But what does taste like toothpaste to me is root beer. And I think that's a thing too. Like root beer to me is just toothpaste. It tastes like Crest.
Damn.
Whoa.
I think you might be right. I think that might just be preference, and you putting that in people's heads might have just infected them and ruined root beer, because I'm thinking about the taste of root beer and I'm like, damn, that is the problem with root beer.
It does taste a little bit.
I do too, but like,
thought about that shit.
It does have a minty Crest flavor to it.
Well, they said if it depends, but damn, likely the shared ingredient is wintergreen, which is like some, like an extract
that they use to put in beer of root.
Just interesting what our brains like attach to. Because for me, like I take a sip of root beer and I'm like, that's what I brush my teeth. Like
that is what I brush my teeth with.
Yeah.
But it gets you all fucked up and you start brushing your teeth with root beer because you're so confused. Your dentist's like, exactly, you have so many cavities, Bezod. What are you doing? Like, I brush with root beer.
When it's a similar frothy foam that comes about when you're really getting down on some toothbrushing, and also just what naturally happens on the top of root beer. I have gone from ever appreciating root beer to ginger beer. I like a ginger beer.
Oh, yeah.
I like ginger beer as my, I like the bite. And you can't make it spicy enough. You can't do it.
Oh, okay.
You can't. Give it to me. Tell me the spiciest ginger beer.
I mean, I feel like in order of like spice factor, I feel like Reed's is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Reed's is the one that has the like version that is pretty commonly available that says spicy on it. And that's the one that I fuck with the most.
Right. Cock and Bull also has bite to it too.
Reed's is not the one. Reed's Extra. That's the one that I have. It introduced me to ginger beer. And has since I've
okay.
I've
so moved. Where do you want ginger beer OG? What do you? What have you moved?
I gotta find it. You gotta let me do some research here.
You're like, what I do is I take a whole ginger, I soak it in a 2 liter of Sprite for 7 days.
Yeah. Jack says that there couldn't be. He wants NASA scientists to inject all the ginger.
Now I have had like concentrated ginger juice or like whatever you get at a smoothie bar, and that is painful and mean that they even serve that, because they know people are coming in being like, oh, I've enjoyed ginger on sushi. I've enjoyed ginger beer. Mm. And that just tastes like concentrated pain. So maybe I just haven't had the right ginger beer that like puts me in my place. I think the thing I'm thinking of is Maine Root ginger beer, which has that's available at like, you know, Ralph's and Whole Foods, and has a spicy varietal, you might say.
Ah, yes.
My favorite word.
Today's bonus word.
Yes, yes. All right, Bezod, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We got another article that is scratching his head and wondering why can't Joe Biden catch a break? So we're gonna talk about that. We're going to talk about what Amazon has set up at their warehouses. It's wild. Like, this isn't something they admitted. This was like...
It's Black Mirror. It's straight up Black Mirror.
Yeah, it is straight
Ooh, Black I can't
Mirror.
Wait for this. I'm very curious about this.
Can't wait to put my application in.
Unfortunately, you saying you can't wait for this is actually taking me off task of trying to intro these stories for later, and that is time off task, and that will actually get me fired, Bezod.
Yeah,
so,
Jack, I have to
talk
to you.
No longer interrupt. Thank
you.
You
are a top offender for your TOT score, your time
off
task.
Top offender, time off task over here.
We'll have a chat later. We'll have a chat.
We'll get to all that shit. But first, Bezod, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
My latest search history was from this morning. I woke up and searched, how many snakes are there in the world? Because,
alive at a given time.
But this is actually why I'm having trouble with it. Because when you Google it, they just keep all the answers tell you how many species. But I want to know how many individual snakes are there in the world? Because I want to know, are there more snakes than humans?
Yeah, that just reminded me that I had promised to Google how many fish are in the world for my kid, and I never did it. But that was the impetus of that question, is like, wait, there's more fish than people? That's kind of scary.
And the reason why I wanted to Google it is because I'm terrified of snakes. And I don't know why I woke up, but I woke up with this like feeling that like there are more of them than us. So that's the little insight into right. my neuroses.
I mean, yeah, it is really hard. Even if you search like snake population, you know,
you
like
just get
snake
the species,
snake
you just
count.
Get the species.
Snakes global population.
They say Brazil has the most species.
If anyone's wondering about fish, it's 3.5 trillion. They have us outnumbered by a lot. If they ever used to learn guns.
The thing that scares me is like, I go, I don't know, years at a time without seeing a snake. So like, if there are more of them than us, then like, are they all in one fucking place? That's terrifying. I don't want to go near there.
Right. So you're afraid that you're going to pull up to like inadvertently like
yes.
stumble upon like Snake Freak Nick and you're going to be like, what? I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was sparsely populated.
And you know, like my brother lived in Australia. My grandparents live in India. Like these are places where there are snakes. So like when I am on those 23-hour flights to visit my family, believe me, like 12 of those hours are like, am I going to see a snake? What am I going to do if I see a snake? If I see a snake, like how am I, do I run from it? Do I, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you know how like people give those statistics where they're like, yeah, you know, you're way more likely to die from being crushed by a cow than you are to die from being like eaten by a shark. Like right, shark attacks are rare to the point of like being statistically an impossibility almost. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for that same statistic on snakes. And what I found instead was that globally, up to 138,000 people die due to snake bites every year, with nearly 2.7 million people suffering serious injuries.
Oh my God, that's a lot of people. You're terrifying me. Like, I'm terrified.
Me too, man. You are correct. Your snake phobia yeah. is correct. Snakes are terrifying. There's something, like, both spiders and snakes are... Like I know I came into this world with afraid of those two things. Like wow. I did not have to learn that shit. Like
I'm
like
snake agnostic, or right? Wow. Well, I guess not. Yeah, I mean, I'm ambivalent with snakes. I would say spiders. I fuck with spiders.
Like you like afraid. Spiders?
Yeah. I like spiders. I think
all right,
they're
so
cool
like,
looking.
So like you walk in
oh,
your house,
definitely
you see
cool
a,
looking.
You see a spider like in the corner. Do you kill it? You just chill with it. You
I have
it
a, I have like a whole I have like a whole. Thing like analysis I go through of does this spider deserve to live or die? If it's tiny doing its thing, I'm like, you're not gonna bite me. You're not one of those spiders I got to worry about. So I'm like, do your thing, man. Just chill. If they're big and they look like nasty, sometimes I look on the phone just to kind of identify, make sure I'm not, you know, taking a needless spider life. And if it is something that bites, I smush the shit out of it and I leave it there as an example for the other motherfucking spiders, letting them know if this is your homie, you do not want to fucking be here. But if you're a chill spider, I got your back. I might even throw you an occasional fly.
Wow. You put a little torches next to the one that you smashed just so they bring attention to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I use a microscope and I do all kinds of very interesting art with the corpse. So,
yeah. Like, I think I have a penchant for being able to spot snakes. I've like been on a hike with people before in rattlesnake country.
Okay.
And I was like just spotting them. Like just, you know, they camouflage pretty good. And I was, people were like, how did you see that?
You have an evolutionary trait that would keep you alive. Whereas me, like the times I've been on like a nature walk or with somebody who is nature saying like, oh, yo, check out that snake over there. I'm like, bro, I was just over there and I didn't even realize that shit.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, there's advantages to this, Jack.
Maybe I'm just going to be terrified for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Just don't go to the subreddit. What could go wrong? And look at any of the snake content because it's always bad.
Oh man. What is something you think is overrated, Beza?
Overrated. You ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Celebrities. And I don't mean celebrities like, oh, I'm a fan of someone, they inspire me, I know their story, their journey is inspiring. I love that. If someone says like, oh, you know, I'm a fan of Denzel Washington because I followed his whole career or something like that, that's awesome. When I mean celebrities, I mean what's happening is like, you know, last week I read that Gwyneth Paltrow, Kim Kardashian, and Snoop Dogg all endorsed Rick Caruso. And I'm seeing, like, that is an overrated. Why does that matter? Like, why does if Snoop Dogg endorsed a new young rapper, I would like to listen to that. If Kim Kardashian is endorsing a reality show or a skincare brand, cool. But like when they're endorsing politicians, I'm like, why do we care? That's an overrated thing that matters. The Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial is overrated for us to care about. It's all like, to me, the sort of influence that celebrities have on things that are outside of the thing that made them celebrities is overrated.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think we live in a world where we just say, well, if this person is successful, they must have their shit together. And therefore, if they like this guy who is, you know, his whole career is about like displacing people in the city of L.A. to make malls and shit.
Yeah.
They must have something, right? I mean, yeah. With the Amber Heard Johnny Depp thing, I think that's dangerous because it's that verdict has basically, it's given a lot of people on the right this idea that they're like, you see, the Me Too movement was completely blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
And it's right. Like, that's not what this is about. And also, right. But that's why it's so fucked up, because people are looking at that shit so uncritically and they're like, wow, I don't wonder what happened there. When it's like, this has created a very, a much more hostile environment for anyone who's been through any kind of domestic violence, because this is sort of the precedent that we're beginning to see is like, oh yeah, don't even name the person who may have abused you, and then all of this shit can go down.
It harkens me back to a Chappelle skit when I was in college where Ja Rule had a political opinion and Chappelle was like, I don't give a fuck what Ja Rule thinks about right. Like my vote, like just rap.
Seriously.
You know?
Right.
And I don't want to, it's dangerous because I don't want to make it sound like I'm doing like the shut up and dribble thing, right? I'm not saying like LeBron James can't have an opinion, he should shut up and dribble. That's about human rights. LeBron's a human. It makes sense. But like the celebrity endorsements matter a lot. And it's a fine line because I'm not an advocate of the shut up and dribble stance.
Right.
But I don't know why I have that line, but I do.
I just wish he hadn't chosen Ja Rule, because Ja Rule is where I get most of my political opinions from and all my ideas on, you know, what like parties to go to and stuff yeah. like that. And I feel like he doesn't miss a lot. So
you missed out on the whole G-Unit era because you were so mad about that.
Yeah.
You're like, 50 Cent doesn't respect Ja Rule. So but I can't.
I got to go to a pretty cool party with some pretty great cheese sandwiches. So who's down laughing now, assholes? Yeah, for people who aren't in Los Angeles, Rick Caruso is, you know, a pro-police, anti-choice Republican who is running as a Democrat for mayor of Los Angeles. And he's also a billionaire who made his money building malls and displacing people.
I have a feeling, you know, there's all, for all the people listening at home too, this is the primary. And if he gets 50.1% of the primary vote, there will be no election. He will automatically win.
Right. Yeah.
And that is maybe looking likely, or not likely, but possible.
Yeah. Well, he is like outspent his opponents. Yes. Like I could wallpaper one of the rooms in my house with all of the mailers and shit that have like come into my, you know, mailbox for the Rick Caruso campaign, and just like shitting on anybody who happens to be running against him.
It's like he bought my neighborhood. When I walk in the morning, like I have a little daily walk.
He may have actually bought your neighborhood.
It's like there are signs for this man on every lawn. And I'm like, really? Like, how has he tricked you all?
Mm. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about something that's underrated.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, how to bustling retail business and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Beza, we also like to ask our guests, what is something you think is underrated?
Okay, I'm very excited for this. I don't even know the word for this, but I'm going to use the word like kitchen accoutrements.
Okay.
So I have lived alone for 15 years, you know, majority of that time single. And for me, I had like, you know, I have plates, I have smaller plates, I have bowls, I have slightly larger bowls for like cereal. And then I have like spoons, forks, and knives. And that's it. Oh, and then like glasses, like 8 ounce right. glasses for water. Like that's it. Recently, my girlfriend moved in with me.
Okay.
And and brought with her every style of bowl, spoon, cup, serving plate, this plate, a plate for this, a spoon for that, a little knife for this. And when we were unpacking, I said, what could you possibly need this tiny dish for? She's like, oh, that's like what you would put like condiments in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well then this bowl is like what you would put like nuts in. Okay, well this thing is like what you would put this is like a serving bowl for like a salad. Well, this is a serving bowl for like a soup. Well, this is a serving bowl for, I'm telling you, there is a thing for everything. And I was bashing it and I was making fun of her. But over the last couple months, can I tell you, like, it is amazing. Like, she has a small electric whisk to whisk a cappuccino with.
Oh, yeah, a little frother?
Yeah, a little frother.
You sound like you've been living in a van or some shit.
I'm telling you.
She got this cup with a blade at the bottom. You put ice in it, hit a button, and it crushes it.
I'm telling you, I've just lived with, like, plates, bowls, forks, not like she's got there's like little spoons that are good for this. She's got like, I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing. So that is underrated. Like, if anyone out there is living the way I was living, go out and get yourself one of these things they call a girlfriend who can bring you some kitchen accoutrements along to the house.
Do you cook a lot?
I mean, I thought I did until she moved in. I have like,
yeah, I make ground turkey and spinach in a frying pan.
Yeah, I had like a crock pot. I was a crock pot chef. I'm a crock pot chef. I can make some meals in a crock pot, and I'm really good at the fish. I can do the fish because I watch MasterClass.
You have a fish spatula? Fish spatula?
I do, actually.
See, okay, that's interesting. So you have these like very narrow moments where you're like, well, as a guy who's like, I got forks, knives, plates, bowls, cups, that's it. And then you're like, I got a fish spatula.
That's because I learned to cook by watching MasterClass, like all those chefs on MasterClass. And like Gordon Ramsay was like, you must have this.
Wow. Right. Okay. So Chef Ramsay put you on to the fish spatula.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, but no, I mean, I thought I could cook, but now I know I cannot cook. I'm the inferior cook in the household by a magnitude of 10.
The inability to match, but like keep a matching set of bowls together. We just have so much mismatched shit. And like, and I go to other people's kitchens and they have like one set of like cooking, you know, utensils, and then like a set of bowls that all match each other. And I'm like, did you guys just like win this on The Price is Right? Like a kitchen set? How does one live like this and have everything in its place and no extra things from like, you know, 12 years ago that you haven't used since then, but still like kind of stick around?
I think, you know, I mean, you got kids, have your kids broken stuff. You probably have to shift what you eat off of when you have smaller kids. I feel like me as a newlywed, my shit's looking like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I figured my bowls match now. My plates match now. Because what's that? Zola.com told me how many plates I'm supposed to ask for being married, because I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to do. But yeah, I definitely enjoy the consistency. But I'm also seeing like I break shit too. And you know, six cups become five, become four, and then you augment that with two that don't match, and then total chaos.
It's madness.
It's total chaos.
Total chaos down there, babe. Come on, this is total chaos.
Hold on, this is Crate and Barrel, and this one's CB2. These don't match.
All right, let's talk about why doesn't anyone like Biden. It's a whole like type genre. It's a whole genre of think piece. Yeah,
yeah. I think all of these pieces ask the same thing over and over. What can Joe possibly do to get people to like him? Have BTS visit the White House? What needs to happen? Harry Styles? We can get him. Will that help? Tell us. And so this article in the New Republic, referencing like these two articles that have come out from the Washington Post and NBC, that are like kind of talking about the tension that exists in the White House, where Joe Biden is like really confused, pissed, and like no one knows what to do. This one is from the NBC article. It says, quote, Biden is rattled by his sinking approval ratings and is looking to regain voters' confidence that he can provide the sure-handed leadership he promised during the campaign. People close to the president say, rattled he is. He's absolutely rattled. This other one, this is from the Washington Post. The White House launched a new push Tuesday to contain the political damage caused by inflation after President Biden complained for weeks to aides that his administration was not doing enough to publicly explain the fastest price increases in roughly four decades.
Huh.
It's not what, me. What is there, it can't be me.
What's their explanation?
It's a bit of a double-edged sword because on one side, you can say, well, there's inflation. There's also a lot of wacky price hikes going on from companies who've just their lesson from the pandemic has been like, yeah, man, people gonna pay through the teeth for fucking anything. So let's just keep turning the heat up. The other part is, you know, it's that $1.9 trillion stimulus. They love pointing at that one. And, you know, I mean, that's when Janet Yellen was like, I was wrong. I should have said that was going to fuck everything up.
Yeah. Every mainstream media outlet, it feels like they've all kind of come together on that one, even though we have evidence that a lot of it is caused by just corporations being like, what if we had record profits, though, instead of just like a lot of profits? What if we had like the best profits ever during a pandemic when people...
Oh, what's that? Oh, is there less gas in the ground? No. We got plenty of gas. It's just that, you know, there's a war and shit, and I can use all these explanations to just get these shits to $8 a gallon.
I forget who it was. One of those far right senator people. I think it was Madison Cawthorn or something like that. Had posted on Twitter that they had posted a sign of a gas station in France, and it was like, "See how cheap gas is." And first, there was the euro dollar equation they didn't make, but also that gas there is by the liter.
Yeah,
not the gallon.
Yeah, that's a few people.
And so when someone did the math, they were like, actually, equivalent would be like $7.50. And so it was like their way of, you know, shitting on Biden's gas prices. Yeah. But it was like, no, it's a global thing, my friends. It's global.
Don't look at ExxonMobil or Shell. Don't ask them what's happening. It's easier for the right wing to be like, it's Joe Biden rather than our donors. It's fucking easy. Like, they pay you to say that shit. Yeah. And this whole article goes on, like, what's the secret to turning this around? Like, they go on to talk about, is it the inflation? Is it the COVID? Is it overpromising and underselling? You know, and when they say underselling his own accomplishments. And it constantly references like how even if Biden is like, you know, confirming judges at a record pace and unemployment numbers are low, and the author of the piece realizes, too, it makes no difference to most voters because it's all about what they're feeling, what they're experiencing living in the United States. And right now it feels like utter chaos and nothing is being done about anything and everything costs too much.
Yeah.
More than someone being like, well, I mean, even Mitch McConnell helped confirm some judges. Like, nobody gives a shit. Like, people really don't give a shit about that. So let that go. I think what would have been better if this article just kind of says, yeah, Joe Biden can't get out of this hole because he is what we call a president during late stage capitalism. You know, like, it's for since the 21st century, like, every president has been basically underwater except for a few specific moments, whether that's like, you know, Bush being like, Iraq war is good. Or Obama's first few months in office. Other than that, most presidents are not, you know, they don't poll well. And I think because for decades, inequality has been growing, but has been sort of this silent issue until like maybe the last 10 years. And like our ethos as a people in America is to just never admit we're hurting, that we've just, the problem gets worse and worse and worse. It's just unbearable now. And Biden finds himself at a point where nothing he says will actually change anything because we are beyond the point of like empty gestures and like platitudes, soothing people's like, you know, fears around the future. Like, people need action. That's really the only thing. That's all he needs to do. That's
the only, like, you know, policies where people are given money and people are given direct help. Like the U.S. immune system, as I've called it, like the way the U.S. protects itself is so allergic to anything like that. And the fact that like now there is a confirmed national narrative that giving people money during a global pandemic is like causing all of our problems is just Yeah, like that's what he needs to do, more shit like that. But there's no way he's going to get that message because the media is just so trained and so like down to a cellular level, up at like the level of the superego of like this entire like, you know, political civilizational body. Like it is all about preserving like hyper-capitalism and
yeah,
hyper-capitalism protecting itself.
This article even mentions, right, like a big thing when there was like, we had a guest a while back who was like, oh, well, what could Joe Biden have done differently? One of the things to talk about is the child tax credit, how right. massively important that was for people. And in this article, the way they talk about it completely undercuts like how a human being would experience this. Like they're saying, you know, like they said, for all its inflationary impact, the initial $1.9 trillion the stimulus has given kept the unemployment rate well under 4%. And its now expired provision expanding the child care tax credit cut the monthly child poverty rate by 30%. Yeah, now expired provision. So right. you can probably say that the child poverty rate has increased because it's just gone. It just swung right back to being, you know, gone up 30%.
Right.
But that's, it's just easy to be like, now expired. That's really fucked up. That's a lot of people. I've read countless articles and interviews of people talking about how that child tax credit came, couldn't have come at a better time for them when they're trying to put food on the table and, you know, wrestle with like terrible wages or unemployment and things like that. So, yeah, there's just a lot of this bizarre kind of like, I mean, I guess it could have been that. But we're just really, this, it's like so much of the stuff we complain about with like the modern reporting of like what America is right now is like we're just locked in this shitty cycle of looking at solutions, but letting the ideas die over and over and over again. You know, yeah. It's like police violence. Oh, well, activists come out, other people who are working in the streets with communities saying, actually, we need more community support. We need less like armed thugs. And then the first question is, we're going to all perish without the police. It's not even experimenting with that. It's just saying, if we don't keep the status quo, we're all fucked. Yet we're seeing in real time how fucked up the status quo is.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, we there's this weird thing that's happening is that we're blaming people getting a child tax credit, which is people under a certain income threshold getting like $1,200 or something, when we recently read, we know now that more billionaires were created during the pandemic than any point in history. Every 30 hours, a billionaire in America was created. Every 30 hours during the pandemic. I mean, that's insane. So we need to be focused on different things. We're always focused on down below and never focused on like up above.
Right.
And it's really interesting. My dad is an architect and he always said, he's like, I spend so much time building beautiful ceilings and no one ever looks up when they enter my buildings. And that's like a metaphor for life right now. It's like, we need to like look up. We're yeah. so focused on yeah.
Yeah. I think the police, like we should understand the wave of crime stories that were all about shoplifting and how shoplifting is out of control that like weren't true. Yeah. We're not yeah. actually a problem other than like, you know, the standard problem of caused by inequality and poverty. But that is the U.S. immune system responding to the push for like more progressive police policies. Yeah. And all of the inflation stories and the stories about, you know, how inflation is out of control and the explanation that has just been very, very clearly like settled on by the mainstream media, that's the immune system responding to the money that the government gave people.
A couple of weeks ago, we were driving home. We were passing a pretty busy intersection in the valley, and there were, I don't know, 12 or 13 cop cars, a checkpoint created, including a big paddy wagon. And there was the whole thing set up. And when we finally, the traffic was stalled for a while. When we finally got to the front, the cop was like, we're just check-in registrations on vehicles. And I was like, there are like 36 of you here at this intersection in multiple cars stopping traffic to just get people, just to get you on a expired
registration
legal? On your vehicle.
What kind of, what it is was that? A checkpoint. What kind of check?
Wow. It was a checkpoint. And I was just like, I mean, y'all,
here I am.
Y'all,
is that even legal? Like, they
that's
give
the
us
auto one. Equivalent of like stop and frisk, though, right? Like, that's
just trying to shake some change out of people's pockets, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly what it is. It's not public safety. And then this idea that, like, oh, well, they keep us safe. It's like, well, there's 36 people here making, I don't know how much a day. Someone do the math on how much taxpayer salary that was happening during that time period to just like, is it even worth the money they're going to get out of people? It's brutal.
No, because what the way this whole system operates, it's like that M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village, where in America, we all live in the village and we're trusting these motherfuckers to be like, oh, no. Outside the village is so fucking spooky. You don't want to learn anything about except what we got here, because this shit, the truth. And a lot of people are like, man, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I saw a fucking plane fly above. They're like, no, you didn't. That's bullshit. Because we have to keep reinforcing this idea that the status quo is the be all end all. And if we deviate from that, it will only end with our demise. Right. So if the police start feeling like, well, people are starting to think we're not really good at what we do. OK, we need to seed more stories that create the illusion of this like massive crime wave. So our existence is justified. You know what I mean? Like, we need that. So now the sentiment is, oh, God, thank God there's the police not preventing all these things that I'm seeing over and over again. Or like, even with capitalism, right? People right now are experiencing, you know, the worst parts of American capitalism, you know, fully. And people might wring their hands at the mere mention of socialism, but we are actually living in the worst test case for capitalism right now. You can't blame socialism for jobs leaving the U.S. You can't blame socialism for the levels of child poverty that we're experiencing. You can't blame socialism for the lack of protection for workers and consumers. That's squarely on the doorstep of capitalism. So how are you going to tell me what happens outside of that if all I'm seeing is you proving every fucking time that this shit is not working?
Right.
You know, and I think that's this like threshold that we're like waiting to cross, is to be able to like sort of shake off this like weird, you know, blind allegiance to like the business class of this country and start realizing we got to do what's right for people. Like, look at what happens when you keep entrusting our policies and the direction of this country with the wealthy. That means every single policy is going to be aimed at protecting their own interests. And that's all we see. So that's why, Joe Biden, it's hard for you to get popular, because the popular kids aren't fucking with capitalism right now, whether they know it or not.
Right.
And I think this is this whole dysfunction that our politicians and, you know, like media class just can't begin to voice. And just finding every other way to say, like, maybe it was like the Afghanistan thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other one that they've like uniformly come together and been like, you've bungled the Afghanistan withdrawal and inflation's out of control. And it's not like, well, like, we're about to lose the right, our like bodily autonomy around abortion. They still can't pass gun laws. He's still like dancing back and forth on forgiving student debt, and that like those never get mentioned. Those never get mentioned by the mainstream.
I think, I think the biggest thing, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because I think so many of us have just felt so fucking powerless every fucking day as the news gets worse. But it's that like in general, we need to normalize demanding better.
Yeah.
For ourselves from like, our system of governance, that it's not like it's the Democrats or Republicans. We need to actually start saying, this is what we all deserve.
Right.
And if you're not able to deliver on that, that's the only litmus test or, you know, rubric that we need to judge people on right now, is that we need more people to understand that we need to deliver more tangible results for working people, for poor people. That's just it. And getting so, you know, I mean, whatever. This is the constant back and forth in this country, is like we're so caught up in this like binary of left and right, Republican, Democrat politics, while that, like, the majority of people are absolutely bearing the brunt of all of it and not realizing, like, you know, we've got our sights set on the wrong things. Like Bezod's saying, like, we need to be looking up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being like, oh, y'all got it. Hmm.
There's that quote or is a cartoon or something where you have like, you know, the sort of evil billionaire class elite above down making the middle class be afraid of the lower class. Like they've all convinced the middle class, like, well, you need to be really afraid of this lower class or these immigrants or these people over here or this minority or that disenfranchised group, instead of to keep them looking down, to keep everybody distracted from looking up. So, yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, so there's some new internal documents from the recently unionized Amazon warehouse in New York that kind of show us what the working conditions are like at Amazon. And it, like, as you said, Miles, straight up Black Mirror shit.
Yeah, this is, so this all kind of comes out of a lawsuit regarding like a wrongful termination. And they're saying like this, like working there is like their process for even terminating someone is so inhumane and ridiculous. They do it by, first of all, like they measure everyone's productivity. And we've talked about that, like how people are like, I got to pee in a bottle, or like I can barely go to the bathroom. We've heard about how like they're, you know, really on top of like people's productivity. So we're finding out that they're using a lot of the people that work in these warehouses have like these radio frequency scanners that report or record their TOT or their time off task. And the thing is, even 30 minutes of not making Jeff Bezos's space mortgage payment can get you fucking terminated at an Amazon warehouse. So
crazy.
Can you just say this, like, so you're saying they have like a thing on them that like a tracking device on them.
Because it helps them also figure, like, because if you're processing stuff, you might be scanning it. And please correct me if I'm wrong for people who actually work in an Amazon warehouse. But my idea is that they interact with this piece of hardware that is able to sort of monitor all this stuff. Like, it's like a smart device that's doing all kinds of shit. And because of that, it's kicking up this information of when they're not, quote unquote, working. So the way this works is, this is from this Vice article, quote, workers can receive a written warning for accumulating 30 minutes of time off task in a day, one time in a rolling 1 year period. They can be fired if they accumulate 120 minutes of time off task in a single day, or if they have accumulated 30 minutes of time off task on three separate days in a 1 year period. And
so three separate times that you take a 30 minute break in an entire year is grounds for firing.
And it's not a 30 minute break. It's a cumulative 30 minutes in a day. You could take like 6 5-minute breaks, and that's 30 minutes.
You could text your sick parent 15 times for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. So,
you know, I'm really interested in the people that don't work, the people that work at Amazon, but not in the warehouse, the people that work in the offices in front of the computers that work at Amazon. How many times are they scrolling Facebook or reading, you know, articles about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? And
but that's
how
class works.
How much TOT are they doing?
Yeah. I have heard that level is also a fucking waking nightmare. Oh. And you get dinged if you don't respond to an email from a higher up within like 5 minutes at any time of the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like when you look at sort of like these, the way they document the time off task, it looks like some fucking CIA black site interrogation record or something. It's like date, gap time from 1822 to 1837. AA went to floor one and was sent to floor two. Like raw time off task, 15 minutes, 2030 to 2040. AA was in the bathroom. Then they adjusted it minus 10 because they said, okay, that's fair. You're in the bathroom. We're not total monsters here. Then they said 2304 to 2315, AA does not remember. The AA being like the shorthand for this employee, like does not remember. So the way this works is when they're monitoring all this time, they begin to then, you know, look at who the person, sort through the data to find the person who they have to find. The term for this is a top offender. That's the quote. That's like the language they use at Amazon because it is a penal colony. And they are basically support, like a manager is supposed to give the top offender a talking to. And I'll just read the process from this Vice article about how this whole thing goes. Quote, after identifying the top offender for every shift, the manager is then required to have a conversation with the worker to let them explain, quote, if there are any true barriers that would warrant the deduction of time from the total time off task tracked by the scanner. The manager makes any adjustments to the total time off task and provides feedback and disciplinary write-ups when appropriate. This is where it gets fucking even weirder. If the top offender during a shift is found to have justified time off task, the manager is then required to coach the worker with the second highest amount of time off task. A tool allows managers to sort through the top offenders on any shift. The documents also indicate that Amazon uses surveillance footage to corroborate employees' claims about their whereabouts and describes an instance in which a worker's alibi was later disproven using video footage. So, it's everything. It's surveillance capitalism. You got it all in one go, in one place.
One of the times off task summaries from 11:13 to 11:23, the employee was talking to another employee with no barriers identified, and that is 10 minutes off task, and there's no excuse for that. Like those are, that is being a human being. Like that is what that is. There, you are not allowed to talk to your fellow employee and vent to them about how fucking you are currently existing in a Black Mirror episode. That is the reality that you are both in. You're not allowed to do that. And like, how do they expect people to
they
not
don't.
Have mental health problems?
But I'm saying they, like, that's what's so clear about these documents. Like we talk about all the time. These people are on a spreadsheet. They're not fucking people. They're like, this drone was pooping for too long and we gotta yell at them because it's not functioning correctly for our, like, you know, massive hyper profit aims. The way they defend it is like, or internally, it's like to make us the most customer centric company on earth.
The employee went to floor one and was sent to floor two. So that presumably by a higher up, 15 minutes time off task, not adjusted. So that's just like, well, you should have been quicker, essentially.
Well, you should have known you were on the wrong floor, but I was sent by someone else to go. Well, I'll have to look into that anyway. Goes into the time off task.
But it's this is not how human beings work. And
I think that's how someone who is not human works. Someone who does not have the rights to exist as a living human, and you are 100% like a cog that is just made of blood and guts.
Yeah, and it's kind of like we want to hire robots, but if we hire all robots, we'll get a lot of pushback. So let's just treat our human workforce as robots as close as we can. Like you said, it's like they're a cog in the machine. They're treating them like a drone.
And if the robots were good enough, they would have hired them already. The robots aren't there yet. That's the reason that they have people.
See,
and
boss, this is why we need robots.
Well, they'll fire everybody the second that they can replace them with robots.
Have y'all seen, all of us are in LA, have y'all seen the, like, those little, like, delivery things that drive with a flag up? They're like, they're like little ice boxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them. I've kind of wanted to follow one. One day, if I'm not busy, I'll follow one. I just want to see what happens.
Do we know what's in there? Like, I do feel feel like it's our
delivery
duty.
Our humanity.
Kick those over, right?
Like, I wonder, like, and if it's food, like, what would happen if I, like, did kick it over and, like, eat the food? Like, is
I'm
that
sure
illegal?
They have it like on a lock where it like only releases the product like once it's at the thing. But
what if I Bugs Bunny like pulled out a sledgehammer from my pocket?
Just walk. You just tiptoe behind one of those with a giant sledgehammer.
A big mallet.
It's going. Yeah, a giant mallet.
Big wooden mallet that expands out of your pocket.
When the robot turns around, I like pull over a bush.
Right.
Yeah. And your eyeballs are just coming through the thing, blinking, but then the robot's like,
okay. Everybody at home, just trust us. We are hilarious in the Zoom video with our...
they can picture it. They've all seen that.
With your picture.
They've all seen it. Yeah. Who of us haven't fantasized about doing knocking off a robo food delivery robot?
All right, Zach Gang, let us know if... I'm curious, like, have you seen one of those? Have you kicked it over? Are you currently incarcerated for doing that? Because
I've seen more videos of people helping them, to be honest, like on Twitter.
Oh, interesting.
Like the robot being so stupid.
Right. The robot gives off the impression of a child. Like it's like watching the show with the children who are going on, because it looks helpless. It's moving very slow.
Old enough that Netflix.
Yeah, old enough. Doesn't have eyes. Just looks like a hopeless piece of shit. And you're like, you know, I want to help this little guy along. But like that thing represents just purely like grinding the humanity out of like late stage capitalism, which is where they want to head as this spreadsheet. It has never occurred to me to kick one of those things over. And I've in fact before been like, it's weird that people like Boston Dynamics had that cross country robot that was like going across the country and it just kept getting the shit kicked out of it. And I was like, that's funny. And also like kind of perplexing that humans are just like robot, kick its ass. But now that I've seen how much they want to treat us like robots from this Amazon spreadsheet, I'm like, oh, the people who were kicking that Boston Dynamics cross country robot's ass were just like a step ahead of me.
Pop culture has showed us in every movie since I was a child with robots that like they take over and annihilate us. That is, I mean, every movie that happens, except WALL-E. But I guess in WALL-E, they're advanced. They're more advanced than us. So it's always kind of cute, terrifying.
Which
and humans have destroyed themselves.
Right.
Exactly.
And, which I think that's more like the WALL-E thing is pretty accurate in the sense that we're going to destroy ourselves. Just we're going to create robots that are extra good at helping us do that and do it and be comfortable while we do it. But also the idea that like robots aren't that, I guess there's that Boston Dynamics dog robot that is scary. But like for the most part, like the way they're first appearing in our lives, they look kind of helpless and dumb. And
well, yeah, I think it's like the frog boiling thing where it's like the robots look dumb now. And then like we slowly get used to it and we're like, this one can't even like one arm shoot like an M60 machine gun. It's not stable enough. And we're like, wait, what? Oh, my God. Wait, no.
What happened? Wait a second.
But Jack, to answer your question, here's a report from the University of Tennessee. Two students arrested for vandalizing food delivery robot.
Yeah.
Back in March, two students, 19 and 20, quote, both attempted to shove the antenna of the robot inside the top compartment after receiving their food order. Oh, so they got their order and then got it aggro with it. Then Callahan picked up the robot and slammed it into the ground. To replace one of these robots, it will cost around $5,500.
But this is the question. Like, do you know when you're ordering food from an establishment if it's going to show up via robot or human? I mean, you might order food from wherever. And then all of a sudden it's like, beep, beep, bop, 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 bop.
Right.
It's here, you know?
You're too high to be able to handle it. You're just like, no,
get back in there. You poisoned me. You poisoned me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but they'll make it like there'll be a point where it's, you know, as bad as like assaulting a human, because that's like
corporations.
Yeah, corporations have more rights than people do. Like it effectively, you know, not necessarily by law, but like effectively, that's the only thing that gets protected in this country. That's the only thing that has enough money to spend on lawyers to actually like back that shit up in court. So,
a cop could go into your house and shoot you dead while you're asleep.
Yeah.
And maybe lose a couple weeks pay. If you fucking fucked up a cop car, man, they're gonna put you underneath the jail.
Right.
And it'll lose you fucking up a cop car. But the GoFundMe that the people will make for you to recover that will probably end up being $1 million in 24 hours.
Right, exactly. When they're like, we need to protect our enforcers of private property and white supremacy.
Damn. It's always something new. It's all headed in the same direction. But now...
Total annihilation.
Yeah. Did not think that the way Amazon treats its workers would lead me down the path of we got to take down our robot overlords. Well,
How quick till those robots, right? Like where people who are hungry see that as something that has food inside and try to open it so they can survive.
That's what I was saying. I was just thinking that.
And then they're going to outfit these shits with like electrocuting fucking probes or some shit, like anti-theft thing, because people are that's what I mean. Like the technology is going to be more into being like, and don't worry, destitute people have no way of getting your Howlin' Ray's hot chicken sandwich.
That's exactly, I was just thinking that. I was like, if it, you know, goes by an encampment or something like that, it's just like a bucket of chicken in there. It's like, you're asking people to get it.
Well, we just live in a world where like survival crimes are only going to increase as inequality increases.
100%.
But then again, and then we're going to spend more fucking time making the robots hungry people proof than solving the problem of hungry people.
Yeah, and funding the police because, you know, they'll...
Because the crime wave of robots...
The crime wave of, like, people robbing robot delivery bots. And then, that just ramp it up.
And then Merrick Garland will announce an anti-robot hate crime bill.
Right.
In preparation for the Olympics, we need to put 5,000 more cops in to make sure the robots don't get attacked.
Yeah. Right.
In preparation for the Olympics.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It's such a bummer, like, how much the people who were the most paranoid in, like, the 80s and 90s have just turned out to be exactly right. Right.
Like the Running Man is about
the
5
Running
years
away. Man, the RoboCop, like all those, Radiohead, like when they were like putting out an American flag with Nazi symbols instead of stars and like shit like that. That like at the time, you know, I was like just being basted in popular culture. I was like, all right, guys, like that's a lot, but they. They were all exactly fucking right.
I like
exactly
this version of you.
Right. Okay, like, guys.
Okay, hold on. Well, I don't know if we got to go all that
right,
far.
Tom. Maybe we should cool it a little bit.
You're listening to like Evil Empire by Rage for the first time. You're like, ooh. I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
No,
does Zach
no,
really
no,
have
no.
to go there?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he does.
He does. He absolutely did.
Because it's there, and we're there. We don't have to go there. We're here.
Yeah. Well, Behzad, truly a pleasure having you, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
On Instagram and Twitter, I am at Behzad Dabu. That's BehzadDabu.
Nice. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
I'm going to do this for my friend Jacquise Neal, who has been on the pod. Jacquise Neal was permanently banned from Twitter for saying something like, I hope you trip or something like that.
Yeah, stub your toe.
I think he said stub your toe.
I hope you stub your toe
to
somebody who retweeted some really hateful shit. So he's been permanently banned. And, you know, for those of you at home thinking, what's the big deal permanent ban of Twitter? You know, Jacquise is a comedian. He's a producer. He does a lot of work on podcasts. Twitter is kind of a vehicle for a lot of people.
And a voice for good.
And a voice for good, you know. And Jacquise, Twitter can be a huge part of your career. And to be permanently banned off that, it's really hard. It's been impossible for him to get a hold of somebody. So I'm using this platform here of like, is there a tweet or content I'm following? It's like, it's Jacquise. So if anyone out there has a way to help get him back on Twitter, that'll be great.
Yeah, I've been asking through people I know who like used to work at Instagram and like other things. It's so absurd. Like the how many times he's been like suspended even for 24 hours over the most like tame shit that, you know, that just kind of underlines the bizarre standards that exist. And I feel like, you know, maybe people are like mass reporting. Anyway, all that to say, if you work at Twitter,
or if
let
you know,
know
somebody who does, just let us know. We'll hit them up, but just let us know. Let us get in there. And it's because it was a blue check mark that he was, you know, saying he hoped mildly uncomfortable things happened to them.
Right.
Oh, he said that to a blue check?
Yeah, Matt Iglesias. Fucking, like, the dude who's, like, everybody's favorite, like,
centrist.
Supposedly progressive, but actual centrist. Yeah, bullshit.
I don't even know who that is. Okay.
He, you like, co-founded Vox, I think, or, like, one of those shitty, like, what if the New York Times had a shorter name and was mainly a website? Anyways, fuck that guy, and please help get Jacquise his Twitter account back. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, Mad Boosties is the basketball show, and we're getting into the NBA Finals this
Yo,
week.
Invite me onto that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we'll have you on soon enough.
That's my jam.
Oh, we know. I mean, I feel like half the time before we ever record, we're always talking about basketball. And also check. Oh, and then this week we had Carl Tart on. So for those of you who you've heard of Carl, check out Carl Tart on Mad Boosties. Also check out 420 Day Fiance, a tweet that I like. Man, there's been some good ones. Here we go. Megan Gailey at Megan Gailey tweeted, unscientific poll. The anti-vax people from my high school support Johnny Depp. Oh, yeah, that tracks. Tomato Frog at Violin B01. Tweeted, do you think my therapist is ever like, man, I hope it's a gossip day today and not a trauma day?
I like that one too. That one killed me.
Yeah, a part of me is like, because part of me really has thought about that, where sometimes I'm just talking shit to my therapist. Mm. And other times I'm trying to sort through some stuff. But yeah, let us know, therapist, if you ever think about that. Mm.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Brian Bahi, a former guest, one of the greats, tweeted, Pride Month taught me it was okay to be a corporation. And and then Kiefer at Danny Vegito tweeted, yeah, Top Gun is propaganda. I'm taking a propaganda at Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, okay.
Like a propaganda.
Gander. Yeah, saw that. Propaganda, more like Topaganda. That was our killer title this week.
Okay. Still my favorite title we've ever done.
Thank you.
You're a genius. You know, I've said it enough times. Like, I don't need to say it again, but...
No genius.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Hello.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Okay, this is going to be a track that was I just started listening to some tracks by this Indian artist who came and started a new career in the U.S., Asha Putli, in the 70s. And this track is called Let Me In Your Life. And it's got like those like disco Mini Riperton vibes. So if you like that kind of, you know, very wonderful voice and disco-y production, you're going to like this. And a lot of the other work from Asha Putli is fantastic, too. So this is Let Me In Your Life.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here, and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.